When chains shatter and shadows flee, Jesus meets Legion. During the Gospels, there's a stretch of shoreline that feels colder than most. The wind off the water smells like damp earth and something older, something that has settled into the tombstones. Mark takes us there in chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. A man comes running from the graveyard when Jesus steps out of the boat into the region of the Gerasenes. This man has been living among the dead. Chains, irons, shackles on his feet. No one can hold him together, so he tears them apart. Night and day, he cries out among the tombs and the hills, cutting himself with stones. He's too wild, too broken, too far gone. And then Jesus shows up. He sees him from a distance and runs. He falls on his knees and hears a voice not entirely his own shout, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Don't torture me." Jesus is already talking to him. When Jesus asks the name, Legion comes back like a cold breeze through broken doors. "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." The word legion used to describe a group of thousands of Roman soldiers. Here it's used to describe a lot of unclean spirits that claim a human life. The man's not just troubled. He's occupied. Scripture doesn't soften things down. The demonic is real, personal, destructive. Modern assumptions try to explain it away as mental illness alone, or metaphor, or ancient superstition. But the text doesn't agree. In both body and mind, the man is tortured and under the control of forces that recognize Jesus for who he is and beg for mercy. The spirits plead not to be sent out of the region. The demons ask if they can get into the pigs. Jesus lets them. The spirits leave the man and go into the animals. About 2,000 pigs stampede down the steep bank and drown. The herdsmen run to the town and the country with the news. People go out to see. They see the legion sitting there dressed, in his right mind, and they're scared. They're scared. Not happy. Not happy. Fear. The loss of the pigs, the sudden order where there had been chaos, the presence of a power that can command legions of darkness, all of it make them feel uncomfortable, so they ask Jesus to leave. Jesus sends the man home instead of taking him with him. The man tells people how much the Lord has done for him, how he has had mercy on him. People are amazed. Often, we misunderstand this story because of our own filters. Some read it and see only a psychological case study. Others treat demons like cartoons or symbols of systemic evil. Still others grow uneasy with the pigs and wonder what the economics are. But Mark isn't writing a medical textbook or an economic treatise. He's showing us that Jesus can overcome darkness. A man living among tombs had been dragged into isolation and self-destruction by unclean spirits. Because he was bound by powers stronger than iron, chains couldn't hold him. The community could only contain him or abandon him. Jesus does both. He confronts the spirits directly. When the legion is cast out, the man gets back to himself. He sits. He's clothed. He asks for the name not because he needs information, but because naming is part of the exposure and release. Mercy has come near. His mind is clear. This passage doesn't say every struggle is demon possession. It doesn't give us a formula for diagnosing the supernatural. It doesn't tell us to hunt for demons. What it does is Jesus has authority where human strength ends. The same Jesus who calmed the storm in the previous chapter now calms the storm inside a human life. The waves and wind obeyed him. Unclean spirits obey him too. Gothic weight makes this scene fit the Christian story better than most people realize. There's something dark about the tombs, the night cries, the self-inflicted wounds, the multitude of voices, the sudden drowning of the herd, the fear of the townspeople. The light that steps on that shore isn't fragile. Jesus doesn't negotiate from weakness. When he speaks, the darkness yields. A walking graveyard becomes a living witness. Eventually, the restored man gets sent back where he gave up. There's no polish in his testimony. Instead, it's just a story of mercy. How much the Lord has done for you, and how mercy has been shown to you. In a culture that often reduces the supernatural to entertainment or dismisses it entirely, this passage insists that the spiritual realm is real, that evil is personal and destructive, and that Jesus is stronger. Our society still knows isolation, self-harm, voices that tear us apart, communities that chain us and abandon us. There is no easy answer to every problem in the passage. There is a person. The same Jesus who crossed the lake to meet Legion still crosses the distance to the places where people feel lost. He doesn't flinch at the tombs. The name Legion doesn't scare him. He brings order, clothing, a sound mind, and a new purpose. Go and tell. That contrast remains. Some people will always prefer the familiar, even if it includes brokenness, over presence of a power that rearranges everything. The people of the region asked him to leave. The mercy they received will be carried into the Decapolis of their own lives by others. Mark 5 verses 1-20 isn't about demons. It's about Jesus' greater power. The chains are broken. The shadows flee. The man sits clothed and in his right mind. And the word spreads. Darkness is named, confronted, and overthrown by the Son of the Most High God who still walks among the tombs and calls the occupied free. That's the Gothic and Gospel together.